not. So real Christian life should be able to taste Jesus and his power in your life. So let's go back to John 21. Let's see. Okay, go back to John 21, verse 1. Give us an amplified also. Okay. After this, Jesus revealed himself. Can you give us an amplified classic? Thank you. After this, Jesus revealed himself again. After this, Jesus let himself be seen and revealed himself again to disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And he did it in this way. Now, everybody, can you? I know I'm slow, but I'm okay with that. Everybody, think about this. These people walked with Jesus for 3.5 years. But Jesus had changed after resurrection. What did I say? He had changed after resurrection. He was not the same person. It's the same person, but it's not the same person, physically speaking. You know, before resurrection, they will go together. They will move around together. They will sleep in the same place. They will eat the same food. They will know where he slept. Tomorrow morning, they will find out he's there. But after he rose from the dead, he just shows up and disappears. I hope you're here. And sometimes, they won't even know he's the one. I mean, they spent 3.5 years with him. Let's read. Go back to NKJV and let's read. If you want to read this long one. After this, Jesus, give us NKJV. Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and in this way he showed himself. Let's start reading. Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee. Are you counting? Let's count. Simon Peter, Thomas, Nathanael, sons of Zebedee, 5, and 2 others, 7. Out of how many? No, not 12. When I dropped out. Okay, thank you. Next verse. So Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. Then they said to him, how many of them are? 6, 7 of them. We are going with you also. So they went out, really got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. Now, Peter had never thought about going fishing when Christ was around. Every time Peter woke up after Jesus called him, he walked with Jesus. But after Jesus died, rose again, the physical Jesus was no longer there. So Peter said to himself, let me do what I normally do. That's all of us do. We go to work. Am I right? That's where we find many. We wake up in the morning, we go to work. If you came on Friday, I said something on Friday. I said, David brought the Ark of the Covenant home. He took it from the temple. Oh no, he didn't take it from the temple. Somebody took it from the temple, then took it to his house. And the way you will treat God in the temple, it's not the same way you treat him at home. Because in the temple, like now, God is in the church. Now God is here. We have choir, we have prayer team, we have cleaner, and then we have service, we have camera. But if you take God home, you don't need camera. You don't need prayer team. You don't need... How are you going to relate with God? This is what I'm talking about now. So Peter went to work. And at that night of work, they caught no fish. Second morning, look at it. Manifestation of Jesus. But when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore. Wait. Yet, the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Oh, I thought they spent 3.5 years with him. Can I be serious with you, everybody here? Apparently, you will not see the Lord around you, but he's there. You will not see him around you. Think about it. The apostles didn't know it was Jesus. They spent time with him. It's a different order now. We will see that, talk about that later more. It's a different order. It wasn't Jesus. Can I ask a question? Everybody, forgive me if I say this. Please forgive me. And be honest with me. How many of you would like to have Jesus physically around you? Let's be honest. Okay, physically around us. I just hang around, everybody, follow you to work, shut up your boss once in a while, acting funny. You know, if there's no taxi, just make you jump across, you know, and then you just go. Anybody you like to have Jesus around you, and then you come with his car, you don't have to buy fuel. Fuelless car, you know. just walk around with you, you know. We all want that too. Peter felt that Jesus was no longer there, so I'm going to walk. I'm going to do just like we do today. And then he got to walk. Jesus was there in the morning while they were walking. And look at next verse. And Jesus said to them, children, have you any food? No, he didn't ask, have you caught any fish? Oh. They answered him, no. What did he ask them? They didn't go to catch fish for fish's sake. They went to go and get their daily bread. Am I right? The reason why we go to work is because we want our daily food. You know, if you agree with me? So Jesus said, have you gotten the daily bread you are really after? They said, no. Let's keep reading. Then he said, cast the net on the right side of the boat and you'll find some. Now, you don't know who is talking. He just said, so they cast and now they were not able to draw in because of the multitude of fish. Now, just imagine you walk all night, you can't catch fish. And somebody stand by the beach and said, hey, boy, no food yet. You're hungry. Throw your net to that right side. And bam, you just start drawing fish out. I mean, so much. Look at next verse. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. So we'll recognize him first. He is his close friend, right? But he didn't know that until... Now, please, listen to me. Let me say this to you very carefully and seriously. You will see the Lord in your life more in action than in vision. Let me say that one more time. You will see the Lord more in your life in action than in vision. Many of us will say, Lord, appear to me. Lord, appear to me. Lord, can you just touch me? No. You don't need that kind of touch and vision. You need more of him at work. Praise the Lord. The way, if you have a plumbing problem, you just don't need the plumber to walk in visibly. You need to fix the pipes. Am I right? I will manifest myself means that I will show up in actions in your life. Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garments. We had removed it and plunged into the sea. Please follow me in this story. I'm going to be talking about manifestation of Jesus. Jesus will come to your life and ask you, have you really gotten what you are looking for? Praise the Lord. Can I talk about your prayer life for a minute? You know, many of us have this sense, and I want you to just reduce that. The sense like, I must pray, 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 I must pray. If I don't pray, no. Jesus doesn't have that kind of sense for you. He has this sense. What do you want? What do you want? What do you want to do for you? It's not that I must pray. It's what do you want him to do for you? You didn't hear what I just said. You see, we have this sense of need of prayer. I must pray. You see, okay, well, you want someone to spend 1 hour in prayer. Wow, I want to be like that. But it's not about just communicating. It's about something being something happening. Did you get what I just said? It's about something happening. It's not just about the effectiveness of your prayer. It's not in the time you go aside and how many hours you spend. It's about what happened through the praying. I mean, think about it. You have a company and you have a business meeting. And you spend 10 hours in business meeting and nothing happens in the business productively. What is that time for? Useless, right? I know you are not hearing me. That just blew your mind. Today, people are on YouTube expansionating, talking about 4 hours, 10 hours in prayer. So you are more impressed about the time spent in prayer and that volume of words than actually what is happening through the praying. Let's go to Matthew 6 to prove that. Matthew 6. I know what I'm saying is very contradictory to our thinking. Oh boy. Verse 7. And when you pray, any problem? Okay, something has happened. You know, all this stuff. Okay, thank you. It's rebuilding. It's taking the time. It's spending hours in computing. We don't need that now. Okay, all right, you come back in. Matthew 6, verse 7. Okay. Don't worry. They will catch up next few minutes. Listen, sometimes take their moment. And when you pray, don't use vain repetitions. Please listen. As the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. See that? So if I volume in prayer, 1 hour, 2 hours. See, those guys, sorry to use this word, they are just JJC coming in the kingdom. They don't understand the kingdom's settings. They think that is the talking. People that spent hours in prayers are not praying for themselves and battling with them, their needs. They spend time praying for other people. Not because they want to spend hours in praying. Are you listening? Jesus said, look, I didn't say this. Jesus said this. Okay, all right. Thank you. They will take care of it in minutes. Thank you. Pause. All right. 4. Please, can you? I'm doing too much to the Bible here. I'm expanding and capitalizing scriptures. Can you capitalize this for me? Follow me. For they think. It's your thinking. No, the Lord has not heard me until I spent 10 minutes on that subject. So I know, I feel he has heard me. That's your thinking, not the reality of the Lord and you. Pastor, I know you are a lazy person. You don't like long praying. Those who pray long prayers, they are not just praying in the sense of just praying. They have things to talk to God about. Am I making some sense? For they think that they be heard for their many. Can you make that for me too? Many words. Huh? Let's go to the next verse. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you. What actually he wants from you, now let me drop this bombshell. What actually he wants from you is not the volume of your words in prayer. It's the volume of his words affecting your life. John 15, verse 7. Come and see. It's the volume of his words affecting your life. It's not the volume of your words talking to convince him. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you. See that word? If you abide in me and my words, not your thinking, not your talking. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire. It shall be done for you. So he wants you to be the volume of his words to be in your heart than just you, volume of your words trying to convince him. If you accept what he's saying, if you agree with that more, if you work with that more, okay, let's go back to John 21. We'll stop at verse what? Is it verse 4 or verse 5? Okay. Next verse. Okay. Next verse. Verse 5. So, children, have you any food? They answered him, no. Next verse. And he said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat and you'll find some. So they did cast their nets and they were not able to draw in because of the multitude of the fish. Do you see that interaction of talking, him talking, them talking, and then them acting on what he said? Next verse. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved, so Peter did that, jump into the sea. Let's go to the next verse. But the other disciples came in the little boat, the remaining six of them, for they were not far from the land, but 200 could be dragging the net with fish. So Peter jumped inside the water. It was the leader who led them there. So next verse. This is where I'm going. Then as soon as they had come to land, They saw a fire of coals there and a fish laid on it and bread. Wait. This is where I'm telling you, this is why I come to church. This is why I come to church. This is why I preach. This is why I... Please, can you help us with your computer? I beg. Thank you. I know you are doing some training, but help us. Thank you. All right. This is why I come to church. Because the Lord is going to be there before me. The Lord's going to... I'm not the only one doing everything. I'm not... Sometimes, if you come to church, if you are with me, see the way I get ready for church and come over here, you start praying serious for me. You know, I don't do extensive, a lot of things, you know. I just count on the Lord. I know he's there. I trust him he's there. I because I've seen his hands. I could bank on, I'm going to pay that amount of money because the Lord will respond to me. Something will happen. Is there any problem with your computer? Please, don't knock it off if you think that it's our prayer today. Just knock it off so that you won't get our attention. We don't want to be distracted, please. This is what I'm saying. Just imagine, they went fishing. The Lord went ahead of them to tell them where to catch fish. And where did they go to go and catch fish? To catch fish to eat, am I right? And before they ever brought the fish to the land, there was coal fire there. There was fish. Where did the fish come from? Who can answer me? Where did the fish come from? Because I don't know. They come from the water. But not through me. Not through him. Not through Peter. And the fish was there. Huh? And then the bread. And before they ever went to go and prepare food, you know, I don't know about you. How many of you have seen the Lord in that area like that? Just moving, doing things for you that he will have brought the conclusion to where you are before you go to that conclusion. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You know, you think you're going to go and meet somebody to get something, and before you even left your house, they just call you, I'm coming with it. You know what I'm talking about? Anybody, you know what I'm talking about? Ah, if that one is not there, I don't think I will stay in Christianity. If it's just all that calculations, I don't think I'll stay. I will go somewhere else. That's what's, it's not in Islam. It's not in Buddhism. It's not there. You have to do everything by yourself. You have to. He said, before they call, I will answer. Remember that? I want you to start banking on that. Don't think that you have to do everything, convince him of everything, prove all your case. No. He knows. Let's clap our hands for the Father God. He knows. Hallelujah. Amen. So he got fire of coals there. And do you know what? They've been fishing all night. To be honest with you, what I needed first is not the fish and the bread. It's the fire. I've been that water for all night. I'm just going to squeeze up there and just sit before the fire. That's just good for my soul first. Just sit there and shake it. Have you ever been around? You never. I had few encounters of around the ocean. I was traveling to Ivory Coast by road, got to Togo, and they had to put all of us outside. My, it was, I want you that word they use out there. See, it was damn cold. No, it was more than damn. It was really, really cold around the sea. And these guys, Jesus prepared fire, prepared food. Now, please listen. Can I surprise you? He didn't put bakery there. He didn't put bakery there. Just put fire there. Put some bread there. A lot of Christians who want to be rich by all means, this is where they suffer. They think until they have, you see, I feel sorry for all these boys today. Until I have money, until I have money, until I have money, until I have money. Not everybody is here. He's married for how many years now? A couple of decades. But he didn't have all the money down. But sir, you have seen God one way or the other moving in, meeting this need, meeting that need, that you're not a millionaire for. Am I right, sir? Anybody, Dr. Sugabe, am I correct, sir? Almost all of us. So to think that you have to have all the money, and I assure the girl that you got the money. How much did you do to Ashura? Even if you put all the naira down now, by next week, what you half of the value? Hallelujah. So what do we do? But the Lord will take care of us wherever we meet ourselves. But the thing is that let's just start letting manifest himself in our lives. Amen, somebody. And let's look at next verse quickly. So he said to them, bring some of the fish which you have just caught. So bring some of that. I already have some for you here. Your whole life will not just be only what you do. Next verse, quickly. I'm just showing you this. Well, they dragged the net to the land full of large fish, 153. The businesses were really soaring. And although there were so many, the net was not breaking. Praise God, it was not broken. Wow. Can we just thank God that, Lord, I welcome that. I welcome that in my life. I welcome your freshness, your peace, your joy, your extensiveness of your testimonies in my life. I just want to appreciate you that you are making all things beautiful in this time. I just want to thank you. And even in this season of struggles and ups and downs, thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Now, can you open your eyes? This is what we call the peace of the Lord. This is what we call peace. If you know what we call peace, shalom. If you notice, all the letters of Paul, they will open with grace and peace. Grace and peace. What is grace? Gift. What is peace? The effect of it. You see, when they were struggling all through the night trying to catch fish, that's Jesus. Then Jesus said, turn your net there. That's grace. As they got out of that grace, pulling out the water, they find fire. That's grace. Their heart just, you see, anytime you find gifts like that, your heart, that's the reason for corruption. The corruption is you get the money that you didn't deserve, you didn't work for, and then you cannot spend it. Cool. Because, let's not go for that here. Let's leave that alone. But God wants to give us grace so that we can be at peace. And faith was there. Life was there. Praise God, somebody. Let's go back to John 14 now. I'm through here. So he will manifest himself to us. Verse 21. He who has my commandment and keeps them, it is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. I know something is going on in your mind. The Lord loves me already now. The Lord loves me already now. You know, love is more than just love. Love, just more than love, just not love. For God so loved the world. That's a level of love. That's a place of you are loving the Lord, you are keeping his commandment, and he begins to also love you back. That love is higher than the normal love that we already know. For instance, God gives us breath to breathe and give us water. That's loving us. Then God saved us. You know, that's a level of love. But there's a love where when you begin to take his word serious and observing them and treasuring them, he starts loving you. Say, my Father will love you, and I will love you and manifest myself to you. I start showing myself in your life. I start taking care of things in your life. The things that you think you can't do by yourself, I'll step in and help you out with it. The reason why we have stress is because we are trying to take everything on ourselves. That's where peace comes in. Let's go a step further. Next verse. And then Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Now, this is where people get confused. And this happens to me too. You know, sometimes you start thinking that with all this hullabaloo noise around you, hey, what will happen to the life? What will go on in our country? Hey, and only that's why he, hey, big, big. If you are not careful, you are not like them. You have another leader in your life. His name is Jesus. Your leadership is just more than that natural Tinubu sitting down or Tapua Abiono over there. There's another life, another Lord in your life that is moving on your life. So don't just classify yourself with the world. Yes, you are in the world, but you have another kind of, okay, remember Israel in Egypt. There was travail, there was the plague, but the Goshen land of Israel was intact. There was darkness in Egypt, but there was light Are you hearing me? I want to plead with you. That's why don't too much associate with the world around you. Don't just think that we're just, particularly people that are young, don't be too trendy. Are you hearing me? Don't follow the trend. Because you're going to go with it. You're going to go with, you know, everything. What's trending? What's happening? What's going on? And then you become part of the world. And when you become part of the world, you can't get distinguishing. John 17:17. Let me show you. Oh, this is good. Now, when you talk like this, people start feeling, particularly people that are young here, that's one of the major problems today. If you are young, this is tough. Look at, let's start from verse, not 17:17. Let's start from verse 15. Beautiful. Take a look. Can you look up? This make it very clear. I do not pray. Jesus was praying to the Father. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world. So we are not living here yet. You hear me? That man saying, I'm gonna tete, I ain't that rule up. He has not come yet. Praise the Lord. When that song came out, I said, this song shall. So I wonder what he will sing now. That's about that 21st song. I wonder what he will sing now. I'm gonna enter jet. I'll be coming. I get it da remember a million times, you know. But that you should keep them from the evil one. In fact, you see, I don't know about you. I'm a kind of person who is very, I don't know how to put it, my physical nature. I'm pessimistic. I'm pessimistic. By physical nature, pessimistic. I don't. My kind of people don't do investment easily, except that they're going to win there. I won't play a game until I know I win. Huh? So, when I became a Christian, I have this fear that the longer I stay here, the rougher things will be. Then I saw this verse, but that you should Jesus pray that you should keep them from the evil one. Can I ask a question? Will the Father answer Jesus' prayer? What did he pray? That the Father should keep you from the evil one. I believe that prayer will be answered in your life. How many of you believe that with me? Thank you for believing that. So if you believe that, then it will keep us here no matter how rotten the place gets. No matter how bad it is. In fact, sometimes I don't only care for myself now, but for my children. Then for the grandchildren. Paul, I was about to cope. Cut in the rapture quickly. But you know, the God that kept, listen to us, some of us over here that are godly today. Our parents were not godly. And God kept us. How much more than our children are, we are godly. Huh? You can close service and go home. I mean, there's enough peace on that. Now, look at this. Next verse. But they are not of the world, just as I'm not of the world. Now, of course, we are physically part of this world. But in our heart, we're no longer this system. And what separates us from this? What separates us? Verse 17. They are sanctified them or set them apart by your truth. Your word is truth. So that's a dividing line. That dividing line is the word of God, is the promise of God, is the commandment of God. Is that, Lord, I accept, for instance, now, see, I'm here, an unbeliever is here. I am married, he's married. But there's a difference between us. He's married, he loves his wife as he wants to love his wife. But me, I love my wife as Christ loved the church. I'm acting on that. And what the Lord will do for me, he can't do the same thing for him. Because we are different. The way my home will be run will not be like his home is run. The way we talk about his wife, not the way I talk about my wife. I see my wife as the church to Christ. And I see myself as Christ to the church. Are you following what I'm saying now? This is so important. You just can't. That's why even when I pick up books to read, I'm still distinguishing even in the book. 50% of all marriages will end up in divorce. Are you hearing me? And just put yourself outside first. No business thriving. Just put yourself outside of that first. You got to do that because it's true for the world. But you have to start excusing yourself because you are being sanctified by his word. Come on, say amen to that. All right. So that's why John 14:22. Why is it that you will How is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Next verse. Just as I said, if anyone loves me, what will he do? He will keep my word. And my Father will do what? Will love him. And we will what? We will what? Come. See that word, come. We will come to him. We will come to him and make our home with him. So have this. Please, can I plead with you? I want you to have this sense as a Christian that the Lord will never depart from you. Pastor, can you see that? He said, we will come to him and make our home. You know what? Church is not your home. You will depart from here. We will all live here. But you go home. Home is your own. You can go and come back. So the Lord said, I'll make my home with you. Do you know that for a couple of years now, when I wake up in the morning, I just turn to the Lord naturally. I don't feel, Oluwa, are you around? I may feel terrible. I may feel not all right, but I don't feel his absence. Now, some Christians have talked about the absence of the Lord. I never knew what they're talking about. The Lord just left me for some time. Bululo. I can't comprehend that. You know why? It's been my assumption that he's there. Pastor, what about if you mess up? The only way I know I mess up because he's there. Are you hearing me? That's where I know I mess up. Because if it's not there, I won't know I mess up. Are you listening? But what about if you have committed unpardonable sin? He has to be there to tell me that he has done unpardonable sin. You know? So, it's not because I am powerful. No, it's not. I just know it's there. Like I assume my wife in my house. I just assume that it's there. I mean, Bonofello. What travel has offered me now? You must see him and find out where he goes. You know? So the Lord, tell yourself, the Lord is with me. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is with me. He's making his home with me. Hallelujah. Now, let's talk about that for a few minutes. That's a tough thing to do. That's a tough thing to do. To wake up in the morning, particularly when things are not going the way you think it should go, to when you are broke, when you are sad, when you are grieved, when you are going through trial, when you don't feel all right sometimes. And I understand, because we are human beings. Things bother us. Things bug us. Family issues, national issues, project problems, people. So I'm not always at par. I'm not always. So this verse, authentically true, but in experience may not be. So I need help. The help I need most is around here. This is where I need help. Around here and here. My word. Keep my word. You see, that is the center of everything there. The center is not if I love him, it's not my Father love me or come to him or come to me. That's not the center. The real center is around here. Keep my word. Because if terms and conditions as apply. If I can maintain that keeping, if I can hold to that treasure of that word, everything else surrounds that. Am I right, everybody? And if I need help most, I need help around that keeping my word. That I will remember that word, that I will hold on to that word. When something happens, I will not stray away from that word. I'll keep to it because that's where all the things are. So next verse says this. Next verse. He who does not love me does not keep my word. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. So it's about the word. But Anybody can testify here? Anybody can testify here? Sometimes you wake up in the morning, you don't like the Bible. You don't want to read it. Can I confess to you? This happens to me usually on Sunday. After I preached, touch the word, take the word, by around 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, I don't want to see the Bible. No, don't get me wrong. No, I don't want to see Bible like that. I'd rather take Google News than Bible, because the Bible says money. Pastor, you mean that happens to you? I'm a human being. I just don't know. And I say, what's wrong with you? But God has been taking care of me recently. How, Pastor? Are you hearing me? He's showing me how to, what to do this moment, what else to do. But I just don't feel like, where can one see me? Are you, early Sunday, usually Sunday evening. You know, you preach first service, second service, third service. And then something you didn't say, you should say. I don't think you said, you should say. Then you come back in the evening, just go to Bible's ledger. And in those, the problem is that something will happen that will make me go back to the Bible. And can I also be honest with you? Sometimes I pick up the Bible like this. I'm happy reading every verse. But that one, just boom, boom, boom. Just like, you know, you want to enter online and there's no data. It just boom, boom. It just boom, boom. You know, so those moments, I don't know what I'm talking about. You don't know. God bless you. Hallelujah. So I need help. Because this is why it is. It's about loving this. It's about loving his word, taking his word. So if I don't love that, I'm vulnerable. I was telling some people recently, I said, the devil came to the garden. He could not do anything with Adam and Eve until they do something bad with the commandment of God. Am I right? Everything else, he couldn't stop them. He couldn't stop the garden. He couldn't take anything from them. But the moment he got them to be off that word, they are through. He got them under his thumb. And the question is this: how can I stay around the word? And can I confess to you, I don't have enough energy on my own to do that. I'm a human being. I got issues. I got likes and dislikes. I got hormonal level up and down. I got responses to issues of life. My wife is here. Sometimes I will just plainly don't like to do something, and next minute later I will start changing my mind again. So I'm just human. You're not human here. So, next verse will give us help. These things have I spoken to you while I'm present with you, but the helper. The helper. One of my sadness is that ministers have made the Holy Spirit as if it's just for ministry. Anointing, anointing, anointing. The Holy Spirit was never meant to be for the minister. Jesus did not come to make Holy Spirit available for ministers. He had been available to ministers before Jesus came. Elijah, Moses, Elisha, am I right? They were all ministers. So ministers and anointing were already there. What Jesus came for, particularly, is to bring the Holy Spirit into the life of the believer. Is to bring the life into the normal common people who are around. That's why John said, I know that when he comes, he will baptize us with the Holy Spirit. They already had Holy Spirit. John was born with the Holy Spirit, John the Baptist. Am I right? They already are, but it was not available to everybody, and it's only available for work, for activities, not to really live life. So Jesus came with the Holy Spirit now for us to live, not just to serve. Does that make some sense? Chapter 4, Galatians. Let me prove that to you. Let's start from verse 3. Even so, when we were children, we were in bondage under the element of the world. But when the fullness, can you look up? When the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth what? His son, born of a woman. Who is that? Jesus. Born under the law. Old Testament. To redeem, listen, follow now. To redeem those who are under the law, that we might receive what? Adoption as slaves? No. As what? Sons. Now look at next verse. Therefore, and because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your heart, crying out, Master, Master. No. Crying out what? Abba, Father. I wish that, you know, there's this too much about ministry, ministry, minister, 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 apostle, prophet. You know, God didn't set them up for that. You know, one day we were having a pastor's meeting and I said, the plumber and the bricklayers are not as important as the house. And somebody said, how come? I was even shocked that they could challenge me. When you bring plumber and bricklayer to the house, is it for plumber to come and manifest or for the house to be completed? And do you know what? As soon as the house is finished, you don't need plumber anymore. If your plumber makes the plumbing to make him come every month, the better the house. Have you noticed something? One day God showed me something, I won't forget my life. He said, all you are doing as ministry is like that thing they put by the house. These sticks that they put around. Scaffolding. I said, wow. He said, all you are doing is scaffolding. This is all scaffolding. Are you hearing me? All this light, all that time. It's just to make us come to a point where we will get something inside our hearts. But do you go home with this one? You don't go home with it. But my friends will come and say, ah, look at this light. Ah, look at that. I want to help ministry here. That's not it. That's not it. It's not this. I mean, look, you go to Chinese restaurant. It's not about the light and the dragon on the wall. It's about the food you eat and get it to your belly and go home. Am I right? I know you don't agree with me. And you're the minister. Am I carrying alone? No, it's not. I didn't come for that. He came so that we can cry out, Abba, Father. In the house, the slave boys or the house boys or the... But say, Pastor, let me just be the house boy. I'm all right. I will be close to God. I'll be close to God. If you notice, Baba Deboye, there's something about him. He's only calling God Daddy. Daddy, have you noticed that? Daddy, 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 daddy. He had the lowest title as a pastor. Pastor. These other ones, they have apostle, prophet, evangelist, senior, something. He's just pastor. He said one day, he said, a bishop is calling pastor daddy. That's trouble. You know, he just, what was he trying to do? Just be, have you seen him on the stage? There's nothing like I'm a pastor of a minister. Not just walk quietly. He's even older now. Before he was even older, that's where he was. He just quietly. I had him shout only once when he was praying. It was before Abacha. And things were really so. Abba Yayikba Ju. Abacha died the week month after. it just. But we don't see that. We see more of. Hallelujah. So I want to plead with you that the Spirit of His Son, not of His servant, where? Into your heart. Cry what? Let's go to Romans 5:5. I want to prove it and let's see that. Romans 5:5. Now, hope does not disappoint us because the love of God has been poured out in our heart by the Holy Spirit. What does it come to pour out first? Anointing to serve? No. Love of God, that we are children of God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I don't live as a pastor. I don't live as a minister. You can ask my wife. I don't live as a pastor. I don't live as a minister. I don't live by the anointing. I just live my life. I'm a child of God. My best name is Bro Tunde Amusu. That's my best name. The other names are all Adon. Praise God. Romans chapter 8, verse 13, 14. We'll look at 14. Let's look at Romans 8, 14. Okay. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are what? These are sons. sons of God. Okay, next verse. For, please, can you read together? Let's read together. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you receive the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, who? Abba, Father. Next verse. For the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are apostles and prophets, ministers. No, that we are. Say that to yourself, I'm a child of God. One more time, I'm a child of God. God is my Father. I'm his child, and I'm content with that. Hallelujah. So the Spirit has come now to help us to live as God's children, to teach us home manners, and to remind us so that when we forget, back to John chapter 14, verse 26. But the Spirit himself, John 14, 26, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that are said to you. Can I plead with you? Can I plead with you? Can I plead with you that you should start having this awareness, this sense, I'm a child of God. I have his name. It's our family name. For instance, this one, Mr. Taiwo, Mrs. Taiwo, and they give birth to children, and they bear what? Bome Taiwo, Bola Taiwo. They share the name of the family. God is our Savior, and he gave that name, Jesus, Savior, to Jesus as the firstborn, and we all share that name. Hallelujah. Not only that, we also have our Father's manners, his word written out, so that we can learn it. But because we are children, and we have not been used to this before, so he put the Holy Spirit. Remember, when we shared grace, what do we say? The grace for our Lord Jesus Christ, the gift, the love of our Father, and the communion or the transmission, the bringing to reality of the Holy Spirit. So the Spirit will teach us all things. Pastor, how does he do that? Let's talk about that. He does that in two places. Two places. He does that individually, and he does that when we are together. What do I say? He does that individually, and he does that when we are together. That's people. Now, what about places? Because usually when you have a school, when you have teaching, there must be place, there must be people. So, number one, we said he does that in us, individually, and together as we sit now. Then secondly, which places? He does it in places. Number one, he does it in the pages of the book. And number two, in our hearts. Did you hear what I just said? So the way he transmits this, the Spirit comes to bear upon our life when we open the book. When we look at the book, he gave us an example of that. Remember the Ark of the Covenant? Remember the Ark of the Covenant? Is the most holy thing in Israel. But what was there? You see that there is a box, and inside is what? The Ten Commandments, remember? The tablets inside it. And then it was covered on the top. And God said to Moses, from that top, I'll talk to you. So anytime Moses go to the temple, most holy place, from under the book is under, God's talking from there. Where if you want to really hear God very well, 70 to 80% of your hearing from God will come when you are with God in the book, prayerfully. 70 to 80%. 70 to 80%. In fact, that's where your heart starts connecting. I can't forget this. When I just got born again. And I didn't know much. And I was reading my Bible. And I remember I was reading Exodus 3, about Moses. I just got saved. I was a stammerer, an introvert, hidden somewhere, And I read Exodus 3. I didn't know about spirits. I didn't know about... But I just read Exodus, and I just knew I would preach. I was reading when God was calling Moses. I just knew, that's me. And I was saying, it can't be me. I'm a stammerer. And he said, read downward. He was stammerer too. I was like, what's talking to me? I don't know. I just knew. But the more I read the Bible, the better I will feel inside. I got some crazy friends at that time that we run around together, do crazy things. Pastor, what? All things are passed away. You know, I'll go out with them, then I'll come back in the evening, and I knelt by my bed, and I open the Bible, start reading. Like it's like I go through a shower. Just wash all that mess off me. I'll pick it up tomorrow morning again. I mean, that night, I just feel washed. Even, I can say that till today. When anything happens to me, I'm feeling tired, I'm feeling discouraged, just stick with my Bible. And sit down there. In fact, it happened today. You know, we were talking and I said, Lord, you have been saying this thing again and again to me. I wonder, can you just give me a break from this? Because every time I open the Bible, you say something, you know, it's there. Of course now, you go to the bank, you transact there. You go to hospital, the doctor meets you. You come to the Bible, you meet God. It's simple. Do we get that? And Pastor, if you're a Christian, yeah, something start noticing. There's something here, there's something here. How many of you notice that as a Christian? You know, if you're a Christian, you know, something here, something here. Sometimes, a lot of times, they argue a lot. I noticed that. You know, and this one happens a lot to defend the truth. And this one happens a lot to defend yourself. Huh? It's happened to all of us. That's, I don't hear the Spirit. No, it's teaching you. You see, how many of you sometimes just remember something out of the blue in the Bible? Anybody, what's happened to you like that? That's the Holy Spirit. A pastor, I will know it's the Holy Spirit when he says, Bo or Olua. Most of Now, let me tell you, if that happened, it's not Eminemo, it's Emekemi. Do I say that to you? John 16. Go to John 16. Come and see. Verse. Where do we start from? Verse 13. Okay, beautiful. We'll come to that later, but let's just see it in advance. And what John 16, 13. Forgive me. John 16, 13. And what, okay. However, can you look up? When he, the Spirit of truth, has come, what will he do? He will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own. So he won't come and say, I'm spirit. No, he won't talk about spirit. He will never speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. He will tell you things to come. Can you give me this verse in Amplified Classic? Thank you. Amplified Classic. Well, let me go ahead. Okay. But when he, the Spirit of truth, the truth given spirit comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak his own message on his own authority, but he will tell whatever he hears from the Father. He will give the message that has been given to him, and he will announce and declare to you things that are to come, that will happen in the future. Next verse. He will honor and glorify me, Jesus, because he will take off, receive what is mine, and receive, declare, disclose, transmit to you. So the Holy Spirit won't come on his own and say, Emile, me. Answer me now. I'm an authority. No. Even when he says, I am the Spirit, he's still glorifying Jesus. Is that all right? And how does he glorify Jesus? He will take all that Jesus has said. This is how you know wrong spirit. All these churches that talk about spirit. Do they glorify Jesus? See, if a spirit says to you that your ancestral father has chosen you to be, no, it cannot be the spirit. That's wrong spirit. You know why? Because the Spirit of God, know that Christ went to the cross and you have been changed and born again and given a new life with a new destiny in God. Are we here? Okay. Let's go to John 14. Let's start rounding up. So, the Spirit will come. And when it comes, what will be John 14? Back to John 14. Let's start rounding up here now. So, if you bring things to your remembrance, verse 26, teaching you, reminding you, what is the purpose of the classroom? John 14, 26. Now, what's the purpose of all this? Let's start rounding up. What's the purpose of teaching you, reminding you, the Spirit talking to you? Next verse. This is it. This is where I'm going since. Peace I live with you. My peace I give to you. Give us an Amplified Classic. Thank you. Peace I live with you. My own peace I now give and bequeath to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Don't let your heart be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Now, this is it. Stop allowing yourself to be agitated and disturbed. And do not permit yourself to be fearful and intimidated and cowardly and unsettled. This is the whole point. The Christian living is not a lousy, noisy existence. The Christian living is a life that's lived quietly, powerfully, strongly, and fruitfully. Real living is not making noise. In recent time, people have come to Christianity and talking about making noise a lot over there. Real Christian living is a quiet life. Let's go to chapter 4. Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 11. Give us in NIV, as we're looking at this Bible. Make it your ambition to what? See that? To lead what? A quiet life. A Christian home in the neighborhood. Should not be the one that says, hey, my yellow, you know? You know, that's not Christian home. Today, they fought over money. Next week, they're going to say, no, that's not okay. To lead a quiet life. You know, I didn't believe this until somebody was talking. That's even management world. Peter Drucker said, I will forget this. Peter Drucker said, when you go to a company and they're running up and down, he said, it's not well managed. And he said, oh, they are doing quite well. No, they don't do well. He said, when you go to a real place of well managed, everything just works smoothly. There's no noise. Today, if you go to Kanji Dam and you enter the turbine station, you hear, at best. Yeah, Bosa, Bosa. Grid has collapsed. Are you hearing me? No. You know, just that's quiet. So, real Christian living is learning to be quiet, to maintain that pose of heart that nothing is missing, nothing is broken. You're putting things together, and when things want to go back to God, you put them back again by the power of God and by the word of Jesus and by the help of the Holy Spirit. Is that all right? The devil is the one that comes making noise. See, when your life is well run, you will have the money for your house rent before the date. You will have your car serviced without knocking the engine. Pastor Okpari. Your clothes. Are you going further? Your children? Like, my children will come and say, Daddy, thank God we don't have drama in our house. I said, which drama? you know, kinds of things. Christian life is a life that is all undercover. Praise God, somebody. My peace, I live with you. You know, Jesus was so full of peace, people come and take peace from him. My. I've not attempted this yet. How do you sleep in a storm? Just took pillow. You haven't had pillow in the boats. How do you have pillow in your car? what I go to pillow? You know, your pillow, I just slept. And when there was stop, you just go and say, stop! And it stopped and went back to normal. So people, they're not used to normal. You just have a fight. Something will just break down. Something was, I got a party war. I had the war of Africa. turning your just something, just, you know, you just want to cause something. I don't mean that. I don't mean in the sense that, don't get me wrong, I mean, you talk, you lift up your voice, but I'm talking about things just going out of course. And Pastor, the devil is here. But thank God, God's already here. Praise God, somebody. Praise God, somebody. Now, I'm not saying that we don't have our worst times and stuff like that. But there's the kind of a quietness that muzzles our environment for God. Hallelujah. You know, it's like AC. It doesn't mean there's no heat in the hall, but it muzzles it. If you don't believe that, put off the AC in the heat of the sun. It gets you burning. So I say to you today that the Christian life is a life of peace. Hallelujah. Things are going to happen, but we are going to maintain our peace and calmness. So you know what I notice about peace? Number one, peace will get you ready for anything, and peace will maintain you right now, and peace will get you ready for tomorrow. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Have you ever seen anybody at peace in the exam hall? He has read what is coming out. Am I correct? I mean, if somebody just sit there like that in the exam hall and just balance and say more papers, what he car, what he get ready. But the guy will say, yeah! you know, it's out of order. You know, something's just wrong there. God has not called you to, yeah! God has not called you to that in my life. Not called you to that. Hallelujah. They call you to that, yeah. He calls you to that place of my peace I give to you. Not as the word gives. I know you where you are feeling. Let's go back to that place again. Let's go back to chapter 14, verse 27. My peace I leave with you. Go back there. Give us in Amplified Classic, quickly. John 14, 27. Hope you can find it again. So stop allowing yourself to be agitated and disturbed. Come on. How many of you went through COVID here? If you're alive, you went through COVID. The COVID was the one we are going through now, right? God help us out of it. Am I right? Am I right? This one too, we are going to come out quite well. That's not how I'm praying. No. I just, you know, the same God, the same Father, the same Spirit, the same Jesus, they've not changed. They've not changed. The only person who has changed is you. Stop allowing yourself to be agitated and disturbed, and do not permit yourself to be fearful and intimidated and cowardly and unsettled. Oh, what a wife will want her husband to be like this. What a husband will want the wife to be like this. What parents will want their children like this. What children will have their parents like this. Not be agitated. Now, it doesn't mean we don't have problems. Oh boy. Let's go to Psalm 46. That's what Christ was describing. Verse 1. The Lord is our refuge and strength. A very present and well-proved help. Where? In trouble. God is our refuge and strength. Mighty and impenetrable to temptation. Next verse. Therefore, we will not fear. Even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. And there's going to be a lot of carrying. Next verse. Though his waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with his swelling, Selah. Next verse. There is a river whose stream that make glad the city of God. The only place of the tabernacle of the Most High, and that's who we are, aren't we? We are the house of God. Let's go to verse 10. Be still and know that I'm God. I'll be exalted among the nations. Let me see if I can take some more film. Do we have the book to read today? Can we read the book today? We're almost the last chapter. Thank you. Before Stakeman will come. And before she will come up, that's what I mean. As we bring this to a close, this is so important today, more than anything else, to treasure peace to hold on to, the Lord will calm us down. One of the biggest problems we face today is that who will tame all this environment around? Who will keep things? Won't things go out of hand? And yeah, they're going to go out of hands. But the hands that hold us won't let us go. You hear what I just said? Right now, let me give you this picture. Let me give you this picture now. Can I give you this picture? The world we live in today is going crazy at every stage. It's doing that. One day, the Lord will come and hold it and smash it and keep it cool. But that time has not come yet. What it's doing now is not holding the thing, it's holding us. Are you hearing me, somebody? Did you hear what I just said? You see, the thing is going crazy. If it's the one holding things, things are not really going well. Am I right? Around us, all this government, popular, because trouble, tsunamis, earthquakes, wars everywhere. It's not touching them yet. A day is coming when it will do that. It's going to take this planet and shake it out of shape and put it together and smash it, everything quiet down. But meanwhile, it's not doing that. Why? It's busy gathering its children and watching over them. Like an hen coming under. And the day when he finished gathering all his children, they're all safe, he's going to come on this planet. Are you hearing me? So meanwhile, stop looking at what you see. Start looking at his hands. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Pastor, what will his hand do for you today? Isaiah 41 verse 10. Peace at work. What will his hand do for us today? Fear not. For not the situation I'm with. I'm not with the situations. I'm with you. I'm not with the sea roaring. I'm with you. So if you look at the sea roaring, you think I'm absent. But if you look at your life, I'm present. Don't be dismayed, for I'm your God. I will not stop all the stuff. I will strengthen you. I will help you. You know, his hands, first of all, will what? Strengthen you. So that in the midst of all this, you become like him. And second, I will assist you. Wherever this thing wants to get you beyond, it will sort. Substitute over there. And let's see that extra you need will be there. Then I will what? Hallelujah. See that word, uphold? It means I will hold you. Have you ever seen people fighting sometimes like that? Oh, let me give you this example. What's the best example I can give? You know, like mom, you're about to fall, just snatch you. Huh? That hand get grip you like that, and you just jack and move and shift you over here. Or a car is coming, just hold you back like that. God said, that I'll do for you. Is that all right? Is that all right? Is that all right? My peace I give to you. I just saw that. What I just said now. Hold you. Peter was sinking in the midst of the storms, right? The wind. It just grabbed him. When it grabbed him, now wait. If it were another person, somebody's sinking, you not grab him. Both of you are going to the bottom of the lake, right? But Jesus was walking. He grabbed him, and the guy floated. And Bible said, oh, let's read it. I can't close, but I'm not reading it. Let's go. Matthew 14. Hallelujah. Matthew 14. Oh, beautiful, 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 beautiful. We need to see this. Look at verse 29. Okay, no, that's not there. Verse 31. And immediately, Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him. And he said to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Can you look up? Next verse. And when they got into the boat, what happened? I have a news for you before Sakino will come up. This world we are living in now, we feel like sinking, it will hold us. The wind is still blowing. And it will take us all through life to the end of the journey of life. And when we get to that end of the journey of life, all these things you will see. You will not see all this for eternity. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? Then are you hearing me? So this is where we stop. Then something we are going to dig into next week. It's a phrase. Let's look at John 14. Start and get ready. Let's look at this. Jesus said this, John 14, we read verse 27. Now look at next verse, 28. Can you look up everybody? Excuse me. You have heard me say to you, I'm going away. I'm coming back to you. If you love me, you will rejoice because I said, I'm going to the Father, for my Father is greater than I. Next verse. And I've told you before it comes that when it does come to pass, you may believe. Now, go back, 28. I want to talk about I'm going away and coming back. He said, if you love me, you will have rejoiced because I said, I'm going to the Father. Now, can I close like this? Next week, we are going to look at what is the going of Jesus to heaven at that time got to do with our better covenant now. Jesus had to go, or things won't get better for us. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? Jesus had to go, because if he stayed, we'll still be under the bulls and goats kind of covenant. Amen? And walking around with him. But now it's better. We'll see that next week. We're going to go to the beauty of Jesus dying, going to the Father, securing a better deal for us that we can live on. And I hope that we'll not spend 3 months on that. Praise the Lord. Let's welcome Sister Kemi. Our book reading, What to Do When...